Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and today we're going to be focusing, I think, quite a bit on health. And later on, and actually in a few minutes, we're going to have Jay Holt on. We're going to be talking about how you can talk to kids, his wonderful book, Tommy the Tomato, we're going to be discussing. And Jay really is interested in wellness for kids, teaching them good eating habits, etc. So I thought I'd sort of build a theme around this today. And I'm going to be talking to you about a physician that became aware. And also, I'm going to have a recipe for some cold broiled chicken for a picnic. If you're going to be out doing things with the family and you'd like something flavorful to take along, well, we're going to be talking about that and some other things, too. So we've got a wonderful, wonderful hour here for you. But I wanted to start off with somebody's cynical comment about health. They said, the only way to keep your good health is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not do. Well, gee whiz, that doesn't leave life very exciting, does it? In fact, you would say, what's the purpose of living if you can't have good food? Well, I wanted to share with you a story today about a physician. His name is John LaPuma. And he's a man who is totally dedicated to the world of medicine. He loves being a doctor. He loves being able to empower people, to make them healthy and well. And he followed all the rules of the game the way they were supposed to be played. He always knew about the latest tests. He made sure that he did as thorough an examination of someone as he possibly could. Now, he always enjoyed cooking. But one thing that he never got involved with his patients, was what were their eating habits. Well, he was featured in a magazine, Chicago Medicine, and he was so proud of being able to do this. So there's a picture of him on the cover, and when he looked at himself, he forgot about all the accolades and everything that was being said about him being a wonderful internist and so on and so forth. He was shocked. He said, I was only 35 years old. I had far too many chins and this huge gut on me. And he said, I looked anything but healthy. He looked terrible. And he said, you know, if I were my doctor prescribing for me, I'd say, you need to go on a diet right now, cut out all your sweets, exercise. You're too young to be so out of shape. Now, this is a doctor that's looking at himself and making these assessments. And he said, oh, I just didn't want anybody to see that magazine. I looked so bad. And so what's the first thing he does after he sees this? He leaves the office and he goes into the supermarket and he's shopping. So he figured out what he was going to eat. He was going to have rice cakes and grapefruit. Oh, doesn't that sound exciting? Just what the doctor ordered, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that was his steady diet. And as he said, if you want to lose weight, eating low-cal foods will help. He dropped a lot of weight. He dropped it very quickly, but he wasn't feeling good. And he said he knew down deep that there was something he wasn't facing. And he makes the comment that doctors make terrible patients. He said, we're usually the last to take our own advice. Well, he sat down to a meal of grapefruit and rice cakes, which you can imagine gets to be extremely unappealing in a very short period of time. And he started thinking. Now, this is a man who is exceptionally intelligent, has been involved in the world of medicine, and he's sitting down at his table looking at these rice cakes and grapefruit, and he's saying, this is not natural. Big surprise? Well, he started thinking about his family. And he comes from this Italian family, and he said he had two grandmothers that were just the most awesome cooks. And he said they would always pick up fresh produce from the local grocers. And he said they could make the best sauces, and they made their own pasta. And he said, wow, it's great. Well, he couldn't get that out of his mind. And a friend of his happened to see him not too long after he was in this particular experience of just about having had it with the rice cakes and the grapefruit. And his friend said, wow, you look terrific. You've lost so much weight. And he said, you know, that's a nice thing to say. But this is really hard, and I'm getting to the point, if I have to look at another rice cake or a piece of grapefruit, I think I'm going to throw up. And the word diet, that was never, ever, ever in my vocabulary. So he got to thinking, after visiting with his friend, that he really didn't know too much about nutrition. And he said, with all of his years of medical training, he could count on one hand the hours he had clocked in regarding nutrition. And he said, my training was all about how to recognize illness, how to treat it, how to understand how organs work, so I could make a diagnosis. He said, I came into my lives, my patients' lives, after they got sick. And he said, I'm not in too good a shape. I've trimmed down, but I'm not healthy. So I have got to change my mind. And what happened is that he realized he had to deal with himself as a whole person. He said, I've got to make a change. It's not only for my patients, but it's really for me. I need to become more educated about his food. Well, his friend said to him, have you ever considered going to a cooking school? He said, you would learn there how you could work with foods, how you could make them taste good. And he said, I never even thought of that. That hadn't even crossed my mind. So what he did, he decided he'd sign up for classes at the Cooking and Hospitality Institute of Chicago. And he learned from them that what you put into your body often determines how you feel. And he said, within a matter of months after focusing on a healthy diet, he was feeling better than he had ever felt before, and he wanted to share what he had learned. But he had to go another step. He said, I wanted food to be flavorful. I had learned about how to cook healthy and all of that good stuff, but I wanted flavor. So he went to another culinary school, or actually went to work with a chef, Rick Bayless, and at his restaurant. He said, I want to know how to make food flavorful. So Chef Bayless gave him a crash course, and he said, man, I was thrilled. He said, the best dishes, and my dad used to tell me this, he said, the best dishes come from the freshest whole ingredients, minimally processed and not at all. So he started a new approach. He started culinary medicine, food that prevents and controls common health problems. So when he started dealing with his patients after this tremendous revelation, John said, I started giving him advice on what was best to eat for specific ailments like diabetes, chronic bronchitis, gout. And he gave an example of a patient that came in complaining to him about her osteoarthritis. She had a terrible time trying to walk. And he then gave her an exam, but then he started talking to her about what she ate. She ate pastries for breakfast and a beef pot pie for dinner. Her doctor had given her anti-inflammatory pills, but she wasn't getting any relief from them. So this is what Dr. John did. He prescribed berries for breakfast, fish with soy and ginger, which is a natural anti-inflammatory for lunch, fish with walnuts, which are rich in omega-3, for dinner, and he told her to avoid foods with starches and added sugars. Now, she came back to see Dr. John after 3 months, and she said, I have not felt this good in years. She wasn't using a cane. He said his medical practice has completely changed by him reeducating himself. He said, I'll see people who want to lose weight, but he said they don't have to give up good flavors in their food. He said, I brought my kitchen into my practice. He said, if someone has ulcerative colitis, he makes sure that this person gets referred to a specialist, and he writes out another prescription, usually the recipes. Can you imagine what that would be like, going to a doctor that would hand you recipes? Total change. He said, low-fat yogurt and kefir with healthy bacteria are excellent for relieving inflammation and maintaining remission. Someone that has diabetes, he passes along his recipe for grilled citrus trout over crunchy Mediterranean slaw. He said that helps insulin resistance. What he learned is that foods and spices have their own particular kind of power for health. Turmeric that's in curry and mustard, they may help prevent Alzheimer's. Cloves are one of nature's most powerful antioxidants. Food truly is medicine of nature. And when you eat well, everything falls into balance, your blood sugar, your liver, your heart. Your body will work properly when it's fed well. This is something we can do. If Dr. John LaPuma can do that, Dr. John LaPuma can do that, we can too. Food is not meant to be digested. You don't have to starve yourself. You can change your life. And you can do that so easily and so well. I think that that is something that so often we get away from. And we get bombarded with so many dietary commercials. We forget that one of the joys in life is food. Good food. Fresh food. And it is something that we should delight in. Boy, I've been that route. I was indoctrinated from the time I was 5 years old to be on diets. And believe me, at this time in my life, that's the last thing I want to look at. But you know, sometimes we get so hardwired with a particular kind of thinking that we forget that we should use some good old-fashioned common sense. And food is medicine in its own way. So we are in the summertime, fresh vegetables abound, wonderful things are available to you. Keep this doctor in mind. And you might want to talk to your doctor. Find out, you know, with your doctor how many classes they've had in nutrition. And if you're interested in food, I love to cook when I have the time, but that's a good thing to research. What foods are going to work well for your particular body? Well, we're supposed to have Jay Holt on the line in just a moment, and we're going to be talking about his wonderful book, The Adventures of Tommy Tomato. And the reason that I thought that this would be good to share, you know, I've just been talking to you about how we need to look at having good food for ourselves as adults. My goodness, we can't keep the pace that we have if we don't have good nutrition. If you're like me, you're taking supplements, you're doing different things. But our kids today, we keep hearing all this stuff about how they're getting so much junk food. We should not have to be concerned about that. Not if we educate them correctly. And Jay Holt is on the line. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's absolutely a delight. And today with my show, I'm really focusing on food and being healthy. And food is something that we should be able to enjoy. Jay, why did you get involved with this wonderful book, The Adventures of Tommy the Tomato? Why did you decide that this was important for you to do? This book is adorable. It is great for kids. What a wonderful thing for a teacher to use. How did you get involved with this particular level of interest?
Thanks for the compliment on the book. I actually have a degree in nutrition from University of Florida, and I'm a former athlete, and I always tried to better myself, and I love nutrition and exercising, and I just saw this huge problem. Kids are getting obese, and they're getting a lot of health problems, and I thought, I like writing anyways, and I like nutrition. Why not write a book to try to help them out?
Well, what you've done with this book, I think, is introduce, first of all, the vocabulary about food that kids will have a good time with, but more than anything else, the artwork in this is just precious. It really is. And you have just put it totally in a school format. And this is for what, ages 5 to what?
5 to 8, could be 5 to 10, but it's the alphabet, and it teaches nutrition principles and before and after illustrations. So even younger kids that don't understand it, they can see the illustrations, and they, you know, they understand that you want to eat certain foods, right?
You start off with A, and that is, A is for April, the asparagus. And we're just going to take this I'm just going to take a little portions out of your book here and there. You talk about the first day of school and Tom, you know, little Tommy is so cute. He's just this adorable tomato. And he meets April the asparagus.
Right.
And again, this is so vivid and colorful here. What a fun thing for a parent to work with, especially when they're shopping with their kids and say, can you find the asparagus? Can you find April the asparagus? Where is she? In the
right,
vegetable
exactly.
rack. This is fun.
It's very visual. So the kids, you know, they can identify with the characters and, you know, they have fun with it while they're learning nutrition and the alphabet.
Right, and one of the points that you bring out is that asparagus contains folic acid, and Tommy is having a problem with his skin, and this helps his skin clear up. What a wonderful way to introduce vegetables to kids, and it helps. And you have all of these little teacher notes that go through it. You have Carrie the carrot, and she's got the most gorgeous green hair. She's just adorable. And whoever's done your artwork really has done a super job.
Yeah, they did a phenomenal job. It really brings it to life and keeps their attention.
Yes, it does. It does. But not only do you cover vegetables, you cover some fruits, like Dolly the date.
Right.
You go into this. Now, what inspired you to put together these characterizations and these wonderful associations, because kids do well with this. They really, really do. And so in today's world, they really, and I think every generation is going to battle with this, most kids will gravitate towards fast food stuff if that's what they have. But if they understand about fresh food and then it's made fun, then they like it.
Right, and that's what I'm trying to do is because, you know, you go to McDonald's, you have Ronald McDonald, you have all the toys there, and they're marketing hard. Why not try to get kids to eat healthy in a fun way? You know, and that's all I'm trying to do. I actually have a life-size tomato character that my buddy wears, and we do events, and the kids, you know, they come out and see him, and they like it, and then they can associate and hopefully go on to follow Tommy's principles.
Now you go into eggplant. Now eggplant, unless you come typically from a culture like the Mediterranean culture, Italian, you just are not usually in association with the eggplant. At least in my experience, that was not something that was brought into play. Most people I talked with when I was growing up, they said, "What's an eggplant?" You know, these. And you wouldn't think that's that big a deal. The eggplant is a wonderful, wonderful food. And being from an Italian background, we had eggplant parmigiana. You know, you had all kinds of things that were done with eggplant. It was just deliciously flavored. Why
right.
do you think eggplant is not such a popular vegetable?
I don't know. I think it goes back to what you're saying, the cultures. You know, certain cultures are used to cooking with vegetables on a daily basis, like Italians or Mediterranean, and they usually end up being healthier too because of that, and it's just part of their culture. So you know, again, learning to cook too is important if you know how to cook. So, but if I can, you know, through the book, get kids to try eggplant, and if it's cooked properly, it's going to taste really good.
Mm-hmm. And that is the key, to encourage children to try things. And to not make it what I call a demand. Often with kids and food, and everybody's, a child's palate has to develop.
Right.
And if they're encouraged to try things, then that's good. Usually they'll develop attitudes. I know my husband, when he was growing up, he said, I developed an attitude about shrimp because that was one of my father's favorite foods, and it was a father-son type of an issue. So he hated shrimp as long as he lived.
Right.
And at that time, it was a young age, until he was in his 20s, early 20s, and he was in the Air Force, and that was the only thing that was being served on the menu. And he was so hungry, he ate it, and he said, gee, this stuff's pretty good.
That's
funny. So, you know, lots of times we'll have attitudes that we develop, maybe because of people that we've been around, or maybe someone was an absolutely horrific cook. So you just never know. And with children, when they can explore, when food is not made something bad. And that's what your book does. Tommy's Tomato just has a wonderful, wonderful presentation here. You must have a good time with the kids when you're interacting with them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I ask them questions, you know, like who's had a leg cramp and, you know, and they say, oh, I have. And how did that feel? That really hurt. And so what are you guys going to eat from now on? Your bananas and get your potassium. So it's a book that shows before and after, like there's something wrong with them. And if I can get the kids to identify, like, yeah, I've had a leg cramp or, you know, my stomach has hurt, and I ate yogurt, and now it feels better. So they can see that food is not just there to eat. I mean, it actually heals you.
Mm-hmm. It does. And I think that that's very important. And you bring up garlic in the book. There's Gary the Garlic.
Right.
And again, here's a teacher's note. Garlic alleviates bronchial congestion, sore throat, and flu symptoms. You may not want to tell them if they eat too much. It may, you know, eliminate friends and family as well. But seriously, it is. It's very healthy. And again, if you look at different cultures, like the Mediterranean, the Italian, there's the East Indian culture, they bring in all of these different herbs and spices, the Chinese cultures. They bring in so much of this in their cooking. I think that was one of the most exciting things that I saw when I was in association with some Asian people when I was in California, how the women would bring together dishes. They'd go to the store and just whatever happened to be there, and they were trained like this in China. You worked with whatever you had, but garlic and seasonings and flavors and herbs were added in. And again, because of my Italian background, that's something we do all the time.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's when you have that environment, when children are included in this environment, and you allow them to try things, then it is really an adventure that's wonderful. And the honeydew melon, you bring that Helen the honeydew, and then you've got Ike, the Indian cucumber. Now, why did you pick the Indian cucumber?
Well, you have to follow the alphabet, and, you know, I had to do I, so I did the Ike. And then he has the little bandana, the head thing there to look like the Indian. But it contains sulfur, and it's good for your tissues. So that's,
and you have the note in here that decreases pressure inside cells and tissues, and actually the sulfur helps with back pain.
Right.
So you've got all of these little tips that mom and dad or aunt or uncle or teacher may find themselves being educated to at the same time.
Right, and it's written in a way for children. You know, obviously he has back pain, he eats the cucumber, and it goes away in the next page. It doesn't happen that quick, but we have to, again, keep the kids' attention. And, if they eat that over a lifetime, yeah, it is good for you.
So. Now, you have another substance, the letter K, kelp. And in the Japanese culture, kelp is used frequently in foods. And I think as Americans that we're beginning to incorporate a little bit of that into our dietary patterning, but it's not very common. And again, we're dealing with a culture. So someone, if they were a teacher and if they wanted to educate kids, they also could get into that.
Yes,
get into
absolutely.
Different cultures.
And, it's good for your thyroid, actually. And sometimes people have problems with it, but I don't believe the Japanese people have that. Too much
and
of a problem with their thyroid, and that's probably the reason they eat a lot of kelp, and which is high in iodine.
Right, and that prevents goiters.
Right.
And we don't hear of that so much in this country because iodine was added to salt.
Exactly.
And so when that was added to salt, most people were using salt with iodine, and that eliminated that. And in many parts of the world, they still do have problems with goiter if they're diets are deficient in iodine.
Yep.
So that's a very real thing.
Yep, it is. And just another fun character here on Tommy.
Absolutely. Then you have Larry the Legum. And that is a good substitute for protein, meat protein. Your legumes, and there are many of our listeners that are vegetarians, that's very much a part of their diet. But sometimes kids may not be really excited about that. And it's probably a good idea to involve children in cooking and preparation of food so that they understand what makes something taste good.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just sent a couple books to the Alice Waters in California there, and you know, she started that garden where the kids, they grow their own food and then they cook and they, you know, they learn from the ground up, and you know, they, that personalizes it more, and then they take pride in it and they do want to cook with these fruits and vegetables. So it's a great idea.
I think we have come such, it's almost like we're coming full circle. There was a time when children were very much involved with food preparation, and that was just something that you were expected to do. You had to come home from school, you had to help clean the food, prepare it, whatever was necessary. And if you had a member of your family that really enjoyed cooking, you had to be involved, because that, especially if you were a girl, you had to learn these things.
Right.
And so we have gotten so far removed from that, and to hear about this lady in California doing this with the kids, I think this is marvelous.
It's wonderful, because everything now is packaged, it's processed, and you really don't have to know anything about cooking. You know, just follow the directions, add a little water, put it in the microwave 5 minutes, and you're done. But, you know, like I always say, if man made it, it's probably not good for you. If God made it, it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. Just, you know, shop around the perimeter of the aisles on the you know, your supermarket store, and you're going to be doing fine, because everything processes in the middle up and down the aisles.
With the kids, I think when you can get them involved in cooking, and I have seen some chefs that have done this. The children have been allowed to handle knives, and you know, they actually get in the kitchen. And I don't know why we feel that children are so inept that they can't learn anything, but we all have to start somewhere.
Right.
So
exactly.
If they're watched and they're monitored, and you say, this is how you have to learn how to use the knife, you have to learn how to cut things, and you keep a vigilant eye, then you're going to find that they probably will have a good time. If you encourage them to plan a meal and say, let's look at these various nutritions, and that's where your little book, Tommy the Tomato, because you go through the entire outset, or the alphabet, when you do that, you say, okay, let's pick some vegetables, and then let's find a recipe. What do you think you'd like to do with it? Do you want it hot? Do you want it cold?
Yeah.
How do you want to fix it? And when you get them involved, then that starts preparing them for adulthood, and that'll make them enjoy food instead of being afraid of it.
Right. I mean, that's a great idea if we start them early. I mean, I think that's part of the problem with obesity now is people are on the run and they don't cook anymore. They just buy that processed food because it's convenient and, you know, it's not healthy for us.
Now, you had something in here I have to tell you I've never heard of, and that's Velma the Voyavanga. Now, you've got to explain to me, what is this Voyavanga?
Yeah, there's some vegetables in here that are you know, not the average vegetables, obviously. That one is, and there's a couple of them here, it's just a exotic South American fruit that's high in vitamin C. I mean, that's the main thing that we need to know about it. As far as if it's at your regular grocery store, it probably isn't, but you know, again, some of these weren't real easy, because I have to do the alphabet, so I have to come up with a V, you know.
Right.
And that is actually a vegetable, but and it's.
And what country is it from?
I think it's from Brazil, actually.
Well, see, that's something too. When you can take children into grocery stores they've never been into, a Korean grocery store, Chinese,
right.
Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Latino. I mean, there's just so many, many things that are out there. It opens up a world to them, and it makes it exciting.
Yep. And it's, you know, every culture has their staple vegetables, and maybe we haven't experienced them, and then we're like, wow, we're missing out on this.
Well, you went from A to Z, and you have Yogi the yogurt, you have Ziggy the zucchini, and it's just absolutely marvelous. Do you have a website that people can go to, Jay?
Yeah, I sure do. It's www.TommyTheTomato.com, and that's spelled TommyTheTomato.com. No spaces. TommyTheTomato.com.
My guest today has been Jay Holt. This wonderful book, The Adventures of Tommy the Tomato. If you know of a teacher, if you've got kids and you wanted to give a gift to a teacher, this book would be great. It's, you know, for young kids, but what an adventurous time you could have with this beautifully illustrated book, educating young children about food so that they learn to appreciate it and enjoy it and be healthy. Jay, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Donna. I appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't forget The Adventures of Tommy Tomato and Jay Holt. His website is TommyTheTomato.com. We will be back right after this. Don't go away.
Hello, this is Dr. Richard Petty, the author of Healing, Meaning, and Purpose, and creator of the RichardGPettyMD.com website. I am thrilled and delighted to tell you that starting February 7th, 2008, at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, I'm going to be joining my friend Donna Sebo on her show on bbsradio.com. We're going to do this every month, and I can guarantee you that we're going to be sharing new information and new concepts that will astonish and inspire you.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.